A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 persons with leprosy met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, crying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord. This is a wonderful celebration. This is one of my favorite masses of the whole year. And the reason is because we're here not because we have to be, but because we want to be. This is not a holy day of obligation. It's a day of thanksgiving. So you're here not because you gotta be. Some people say, Catholics, whenever we give something away, we tend to come, even if it's ashes. I don't know about that. But today, you do get something good. You get a loaf of bread here. I was reading the spiritual writer, Father Basil Pennington, and he was writing about a movie he had seen. I think he was giving thanks. I don't know how he got to see a movie since he's a Trappist monk, but he saw this German movie. And it was about an angel. It was called Under the Wings of an Angel. And it was about an angel who was assigned to come to earth, to serve here on earth. But while this angel was serving here on earth, something strange happened. He started to become envious of us human beings. And it wasn't about spectacular things, but he became very envious about little things, perhaps things that we take for granted, like the smell of coffee in the morning, the smile on a child's face, the softness of a rose petal, the touch of a loved one. I didn't see that German movie, but I saw a Hollywood movie with a similar theme, Nicolas Cage, City of Angels. He became an angel who decided he wanted to become a human being. How many things do we as human beings take for granted that maybe the angels see? Thanksgiving is a good time for us to reflect, not just on the spectacular things, but on the ordinary, the things we can take for granted. Father Pennington went on in this article, and he was talking about giving thanks. And he mentioned about giving thanks for something that he in his own life had taken for granted until he had a stroke. It was being able to hear out of both ears. And he said he never appreciated stereophonic sounds. That if you hear out of two ears, you can tell where something's coming from, a sound. But with only one ear, you're never quite sure. But then he went on to still thank God for those parts where we have spare parts, two ears, two eyes, two lungs, two kidneys. And in this day of bionic parts, sometimes we get a third and fourth chance. There are many ordinary things that perhaps we take for granted. If you heard Father John Mason, who was visiting us a few weeks ago from Jamaica, he shared just about when he went to his parish in a poor parish in Jamaica, how the water was so bad he couldn't even drink it. How it can take just something as simple as a glass of water. Makes me appreciate the ministry of gift of water, just helping to people in third world countries just to have the basics of a clean glass of water. There was another missionary priest that we had from Africa here a few years ago who taught me a lesson about things I take for granted. He had preached here, and then his next church he was preaching at was up in Daytona Beach. And so with my family and I, we drove him up to Daytona Beach, and we stopped in a Pizza Hut off of Route 95. Natural thing to do, it was the afternoon, lunchtime. Pulled in, went in, ordered a pizza. And after we had ordered the pizza, the priest said to me, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." He says, "Can you go anywhere in this country and get food?" Well, my kid's sitting around the table. "Yeah, of course, there's McDonald's, there's pizza." But he said, "In my country, we have food, but you can never be sure you're going to get food if you go on a journey, so you always have to carry it with you." I never thought I would be giving thanks for Pizza Huts. Roof over our head, even if it leaks. As I was reading an article this week about the homeless shelter for our Vietnam veterans here in Melbourne that may have to close because it doesn't have enough money, how often can we take something as basic as a house to live in for granted? St. Paul, writing 2,000 years ago to the Corinthians, has the same message to us, a message of being able to give thanks. Paul writes, "I give thanks to my God always on your account for the grace God bestowed on you in Christ Jesus, that in him you were enriched in every way, even the ordinary, maybe especially in the ordinary." But how often are we so busy in the ordinary we don't see it? We're like the nine people with leprosy who were so busy that they didn't take the time to say thank you. And are we able to also be able to say thank you, as Father Pennington did, even in what seems like the negatives, in a stroke, in illness? Perhaps the negatives in our life help us to appreciate the positives. Perhaps we need to stumble and fall in order to fully appreciate being able to walk, or to taste the ashes of sin in order to fully experience the mercy of God. Sometimes it takes a wake-up call, our cell phone to go off, to let us become aware of what's around us all the time. I love that old play, Our Town. There's a powerful scene in that play where the young girl in the family who has died is granted one wish, and she wishes to come back and spend one more day with her family, even though they couldn't see her. And she starts the day, she's in there at their breakfast table, and there's her family coming down for breakfast and all the busyness of the ordinary day of life. And she sees her family and her brothers and sisters, and all she can say is, "Oh, don't you see how beautiful you are?" And of course they couldn't. They hadn't had that wake-up call called death. Thanksgiving Day is a wonderful opportunity to have a wake-up call, to take a day a year to say, "Thank you, Lord, for everything," to appreciate. I think it's wonderful in our parish how our younger families are putting on this Thanksgiving dinner for our elders in appreciation for all you've done for our community through the years. That's the attitude of Thanksgiving. We've received so much from the Lord. I just like to outline three possible ways of responding. The first is to use the gifts that God has given us. I always heard that expression, Indian giver. And I never understood, what the heck is an Indian giver? Like someone takes something back, they give you. But I never knew the reason. For the Indians, if they gave you a gift and you never used it, well, it was assumed, well, you really didn't want it, so they'd give it to somebody else who would use it. How many gifts has God given us? And probably the best way to say thank you is to use those gifts to serve others, especially the gift of love. The best way to say thank you of the gift of love is to love others. The second response I saw on a sign in one of our local Baptist churches. It says, "Do you have an attitude of gratitude?" Just a way of living life, just a basic attitude. to appreciate the little things, not to dwell on the negatives, but when we see the rose bush, we see the rose, not just the thorns. There are too many wonderful things in this world to be thankful for than to dwell on those that we don't need to be thankful for. Too many persons to be loved. This is a lesson we're trying to teach our middle-aged beagle dog at this time. We're watching a friend's puppy this weekend, the cutest little puppy in the world, and you figured, oh, she's going to love this puppy. Well, guess what? Our beagle does not have an attitude of gratitude. And finally, I think our ultimate response to God's graciousness, God's giftedness to us, is what actually we're doing right now, is worship, is thank you. As Father Amon's mentioned at the beginning of our Eucharist, that is what this means. Eucharist, the Greek word, means thanksgiving, especially as we gather around a meal, as we will later today, but we gather around the table of the Lord. And it's so important to gather with our family, our faith family, to share this thanksgiving to our Lord. And we're here not because we have to be. That's the beautiful part. But we would give it because we want to. Thank you, Lord. And this is a wonderful day. So often we hear these things. People say, well, why do I have to go to Mass? We had this experience as a family a few years ago, that first Thanksgiving when not all the children are going to be at the table. And that sense of, we're not complete with not everyone here. I think it's the same with our Eucharistic Thanksgiving dinner. When someone's not here, we're not complete. And when we miss Mass, we are missed. And finally, the ultimate thanksgiving is for the ultimate gift, the gift of our God that he gave us totally himself in Jesus Christ and continues to give us his body and blood. I found this nice little pamphlet back in our magazine rack. There's a lot of good gifts back there, by the way. And it just has a list of a few things to give thanks for, things that we might not always think about thanking God for. The first one starts with alarm clocks. That's right. Those faithful, implacable servants which wake us to savor, no matter how reluctantly, another day of God's gift of life. Charities. Appeals to our pocketbooks are often the appeals to our consciences. Left on our own, how many of us would give a thought, let alone a financial sacrifice, to improve the lives of those less fortunate? And by the way, we're not taking a collection up, so you can be thankful for that. But there are collection baskets in the back of church on your way out for those of you who remember to bring your envelopes. And Mondays. It's easy to appreciate Fridays. Mondays are something else, again. Maybe the next time a blue Monday comes our way, we can be grateful for the day itself, when the good that will be done by us and by others for us will make this world of ours a better place. Telephones. Even if you're on the do not call list. Annoying as busy signals can be, exasperating as overlong conversations by family members are, telephones enrich our lives in hundreds of ways. Who can place a value on the sound of a loved one's voice from whom we are separated by miles, or the news of an approaching event, of a Christmas greeting, of a birthday wish? And finally, be thankful for sermons. I'm just reading what it says. Long sermons, short sermons, interesting sermons, dull sermons. As parentheses here, it says, they really do exist. All give us at least one worthwhile thought to take home with us. Trust in the Spirit. If you do, you're bound to come upon some food for thought for the upcoming week. And if you haven't found anything yet to be thankful for, you can now be thankful that this long sermon is finally over.